Lord Jesus Christ to share an inheritance of the Son, and we did nothing for it. We were in rebellion against you, yet you saved us according to your grace at just the right time. You sent your Son to suffer in our place, bearing our sins, being bruised, taking upon his own body our iniquities, and it pleased you to crush him, to bring many sons to glory. And that is wonderful, of men, women, and children of every kindred, tribe, and tongue, all across the globe, down through history, a people that you had set your affections on, and we thank you. We're so glad to have a book like this book, letter to the Ephesians, the people in this area of the world at that time, and that we are blessed by it all these many 2,000 years later. Let it mean something to us as we study it. Let Christ mean more to us. Let us behold the radiance of your glory and his face all the more as we study and as we hear messages preached, as we read throughout the week, as we think about and meditate on these verses. Oh, Lord, have your way today. Speak to our hearts. Show us what's on your heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. By the way, I think next week I may show you, but there's a good scripture memory system that you can find online. There's some good online memory tools, and we'll go through Ephesians slow enough that you may have time to actually put Ephesians to memory. I'll show you that. It's called Scripture Typer, and it's a very helpful tool for scripture memory, and I may give a demonstration that during the offering or something like that next week. We'll see. It may be 2 weeks from now. Teams will be leading next week. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This is profound, and it's just the very beginning. I was telling Jeff, every word the Spirit of God put upon Paul's heart, every word has meaning that would root us and ground us in Christ, that we would have faith and trust in him, so no matter what comes to us in our life, we're unaffected. We will be affected, but we will not be disheartened. We will be patient. We'll stand the test. We'll be sturdy until the very end. Paul is a happy Christian. I made that note long time ago at the top of my page. Paul is a happy Christian. Now, happiness is something that eludes many of us, because happiness is the absence of or a minimizing of frustrations. The less frustrations we have, the happier we tend to be. And so I could say Paul's joyful, and that would be true, but I think Paul is a happy Christian. And I think Ephesians gives us insight into why Paul is a happy Christian, and why we can be happy Christians too. Doesn't mean that everything will always go our way and that every day will be happy, happy, happy. But it does mean that we can have a general trend of less frustration in life, even though we have tons of them. But keeping things in perspective, that will help us to get things right in that way. And I think Ephesians is for believers that we would put things in perspective and see things as they really are for us as Christians. I think Paul is happy in Christ because he sees, and he shows us why this is, because we see the person, the promises, the power, the presence of Christ is perfectly real to Paul. It's not something he longs for to know him. He knows him now, and he understands that knowing Christ is something you can know him now in this life. One of his prayers, and he gives us an insight into that in Ephesians 1:17, he says, I pray that you'll receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you'll know him better. And to know him now, And not just think, I'll know him in heaven. You can know him now, intimately, deeply, and personally, and you'll know him fully without any smoke in front of you, without any mirrors. There will be nothing that will hinder you from knowing him fully in heaven. But right now we can know him. Well, Paul didn't have to be convinced of the glory of God. He didn't have to be convinced of the ever-present power and person of Jesus Christ. Now, we're not as easily convinced, I think. But that's why we have the Bible. That's why we've been given the Scriptures. That's why God has given us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to strengthen our faith, to encourage us, to fill our hearts with His love, so we can be encouraged and not lose heart, so we can become convinced of this ever-present person of Jesus Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit and among us through the Holy Spirit. And to remind, not just remind us, but to make real the present riches of heavenly blessings that we have received already. To make them real every day, every moment, that we might be more and more convinced that we would know him better. I think that's why we are being reminded in Ephesians of all these great things. Ephesians is a unique message to a unique people. That's what I'm calling the whole series. A unique message to a unique people, and it's the opening up of the treasury of heaven. The heaven's treasury is opened to you if you are in Christ Jesus. Well, Paul is the author. He's writing to a group of churches in Asia Minor. I read that many of the old manuscripts have a blank spot there, as if they're writing this letter, Paul, to the saints in blank. They just happened to find a manuscript that said Ephesus, so that's why we call this to the Ephesians. But other manuscripts have the same copy, just a blank space there, as if they would fill it into whichever church needed to hear it, which encourages me, because this letter was sent to many, many believers that they might understand the treasury is open, the inheritance of blessing, the heavenly blessings are yours now. The fullness of them won't be received until we pass from this life, when we're suited with bodies that can handle it in their full expression. But they are ours right now. The riches of glory. Well, as he's writing this letter, he's writing to urge believers to do the most important thing, and that is to enter by faith into the possession of the inheritance that will be enjoyed one day. Enter in to take it. The possession of it. By faith, it has to be received by faith now. So he presses the point home throughout all of this letter that we are rich in our inheritance now. Yet there's more to come. I almost called the message yes and yet. Yes, we have the inheritance, and yet there is more to come. So what we have now is real, but there is so much more to come. This letter has two main divisions. It's real simple. The first half of it is the doctrinal. That sounds kind of boring, but it's not. Doctrine, biblical doctrine, is freedom-giving. Biblical doctrine will change the way you think. Biblical doctrine will change the way you feel because of the way you think. Biblical doctrine, when taught properly and when absorbed by faith, will change your life and the trajectory of your life for good. So the first half of it's doctrinal. The second half is practical, teaching you how you ought to think, why you can think the way you think, and then how do you live it out. That's important. One, you got to know how to think, and then how do you apply what it is you're to think, what's to be in your mind. I think the doctrine he talks about most is the inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus. Second half of it then is, how do we live? Because we have this inheritance, how are we to live? Because we're so richly blessed. Don't you think there would be a matter of learning how to conduct yourself because you are rich in this inheritance. And that's what the second half of Ephesians teaches us. How do we live? How are those who are the eternally rich people blessed by this eternal inheritance? How are we to live? Well, that's what Ephesians teaches us in the second half. So Paul is sending, he's the one who's the messenger. And the question we should ask is, okay, if the message is sent, what is the message and who's the recipients? And that's what the first verse covers. But you think, oh, I've read these opening comments 100 times. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Let's get on to the good stuff. I think this is good stuff. Amen. The best part about preaching for me is I think I better think about every word. Why is it there? God doesn't waste words. We oftentimes will waste words with our babbling. Preachers waste words all the time. But God doesn't waste any words. Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Now, an apostle is one who's sent. Doesn't mean they're this spiritually superior and everybody needs to somehow bow down to their feet. It simply means Paul is sent, an apostle. He's a sent one with a specific message given to him by the will of God. An apostle, a sent one, a messenger on a mission. He's a messenger on a mission by the will of God. God called him personally through Jesus Christ to deliver a message to the nations. His calling was clear. Go to the nations. Go to the Gentiles. And he went to the Gentiles. And he writes this letter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus, of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints in Ephesus. Saints are those who are set apart, the set apart ones. Well, how are they set apart? They're set apart by the hand of God. And Paul's going to get into what that means. The set apart ones are set apart by the will of God. So Paul's sent by the will of God with a message to the people who have been called out according to the will of God. So it's a sent one sent to those that are set apart by God. So it's a unique message to a unique people. In other words, this message isn't for people that aren't the set apart ones. We want all nations to hear it, but only those who have ears to hear will hear it. Someone who doesn't know of Christ or have this inheritance or doesn't believe on him, this message can't be comprehended. But if you're in the faith, and you have to understand, you're in the faith because God, and we're going to study this, God has called you out according to his will. Just as he called Paul to be an apostle, he calls people out to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this message is for those who have heard and believed, and they've heard and believed because they've been born again. And so this is, I think, a powerful beginning. And he writes it. He makes it, I guess, all that I just said. Paul makes it even, says it better when he says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Many people will call on Jesus and say, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, but on that great day when people say, Lord, Lord, did we not do this? He said, depart from me, for I never knew you. There's a difference between those who say they acknowledge Jesus, but there's a difference then between those who acknowledge him and the truly faithful. The faithful are those who have heard and received and believed the message that was given them. The faithful, those who are enthralled with Jesus Christ, with his person, with his work, with his power and presence. People that are concerned about who is Jesus Christ and that I may know him. And so he said, calls them the faithful, those who have heard and believed the message of Jesus Christ, who understand and know that everything that you have and could have and will be is in Christ Jesus. As Sonny oftentimes, I loved you, used to have a poster on your wall of our identity in Christ Jesus. It's those who see and know my identity is this in Christ Jesus. The foundation of my life is set on Christ. Those are the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I like what I read. I forget who it was that wrote this, but they just had this little note. It said, the faithful in Christ Jesus as opposed to Adam. There is such a shift in one's life when they come out of Adam and his fallen race and are brought into the kingdom of the Son God loves, into Jesus Christ. And it's not just something where Jesus is here and you're over here and you're trying to connect with him. It is in Christ. You're in him and he is in you. It's a whole new relationship. Before you were born again, you were in Adam and Adam was in you. You couldn't shake Adam off no matter how hard you would try. You couldn't get out of him and he couldn't get out of you. But when you were born again, you were put in Christ. And Christ was put in you. And now you can't shake him.
Hallelujah.
That is good news. So this letter is a unique message to a unique people. And it starts off that way. It's powerful that way. The Bible is God's unique revelation to his people that he called out. The whole Bible, the whole of Scripture is for you and for me. It's these people are a people that are characterized by belief in the truth and then lives of obedience in connection to the truth. Behavior fitting for those who are so richly blessed to be found in Christ Jesus. So I think a good application, just a good point to drive this home, is read your Bible. Meditate on it. It is part of that treasury. You want the treasury of heaven to be open to your heart and mind. Open your Bible. Read it. Even Leviticus. Treasure. It's all treasure. Memorize the Scripture. Put it to memory. It would be so helpful for you, especially if you're younger. You can memorize a whole lot easier. But you can always try as you get a little bit older. And we'll talk about that more. So that first verse is so powerful. It's more than just, it's worth receiving it and thinking about it. We just don't want to gloss over it. The second verse is just as powerful. Paul writes, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. He's got a message from heaven. He's got a message from God. There were some movies a few years back that some kid would, you know, it was a movie about a kid that he's got a message from God. Or you might have Bruce Almighty or some movies like that they were funny and all that stuff. But here, this is the real deal. Paul has a message, a heavenly greeting from God to you. To the Ephesians, but to you. That's why I like that the old manuscripts just have a blank. And it was going to many, many churches, including the Ephesians, because I can see that blank being us as well, to the saints at Sovereign Christ. That would be you. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. What does that mean? Grace to you. Well, it would be fine if it only meant saving grace. We have received saving grace. But it's more than saving grace. We already have that. These Ephesians believers had already received saving grace, but they're saved already. So he's not saying a new saving grace to you. You have that already. But it's that grace that accompanies saving grace that keeps you. It's a keeping grace. It's a preserving grace. It's a persevering grace. Grace to persevere. Grace to finish. Do you realize how important this grace that Paul writes to them? And it's just not his wishful thinking. It is a greeting from heaven. A greeting from God to you. God encourages you and says, grace and peace to you. Keeping grace. Preserving grace, persevering grace, because I'm convinced that all of us would become atheists if left to ourselves. I think we would become the most hardened unbelievers were it not for this grace that God is shouting out to us from heaven, grace to you. Think of your own life. Think of the times that you have had doubts as to the reality of this message. And you kept hold of it by faith according to the grace of God. And this is the message Paul writes just in the second verse. Grace and peace to you, this keeping grace, daily grace, sustaining grace that will hold you fast, that will uphold you in daily trials, that will take you through your darkest of nights and your deepest of doubts. Grace is bestowed on us at a certain place. The Bible teaches us, and that place is the throne of grace. There is a throne of grace upon which your Lord Jesus, our Lord, sits as our great high priest. He knows our daily troubles. Here's what Hebrews 4, 15 and 16 says. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. And listen to this. All right, he knows it. But you know what your children go through and their troubles and their pain. But there's nothing that you can pour into them except words of comfort. And here's the difference between just simply patting our children on the back and even hugging them. It goes so much deeper, and it's the grace of God. That He alone can work in the innermost parts of your being. That a parent, a mother, a father can't do. A best friend, a husband and wife can't do. And it goes on to say, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. To find just the right measure of grace. To find just what we need to give us the strength to walk through it. Whatever it would be. And that grace is received at His throne. So you need, He's talking about you go to this by faith. Whether it's in guttural groans or actual words that you would speak. Going to His feet, to the one who suffered on your behalf, who knows your suffering because He was tempted in every way. And He has the grace for you. And Paul writes, this is a heavenly greeting from God, grace to you. It's yours. That's one of the riches. Grace. And peace, he says, and peace. Well, what kind of peace? You realize that when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that you had peace with God. The enmity was over. Enmity is an irreconcilable difference. But the Bible tells us in Romans 5:1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace with God when we come to faith, when we have saving faith, we have peace with God. When we're justified, the enmity is removed. So this peace that Paul sends, a heavenly greeting, says grace to you and peace. The peace of God. Shalom. Where everything's right. We were thinking of shalom when we wrote a little, we sang a little ditty when Zoe and Bennett were babies. Everything's good, everything's right, everything's just the way it should be. Everything's good, everything's right, everything's just the way it should be. Whatever else we would sing, shalom. Shalom from God your Father. Shalom, the peace of God. The peace of God that makes our hearts, makes our faith sturdy in times of trouble. That peace that settles in, that's from God, that shalom that tells you everything's okay even in times of trouble. Even when your heart is broken, shalom from God. It makes your faith sturdy enough. Sturdy enough. It's enough to bridge the trouble. Philippians 4:7 speaks of this peace. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's that peace, the shalom, that sturdies you. A peace that envelops you in the person and presence of Christ. Do you have this peace? Is this peace yours? You may be born again and have not enjoyed this peace. I remember crying out early morning one time. I had so much work ahead of me. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I prayed for work and I got it. And it was like the Israelites loathing the meat that they asked for, and it was running out of it. He said, you're going to choke on it. It's going to run out of your nose. You're going to wish you'd never asked for that, because I give you what you need when you need it. And I remember thinking of that and crying out to the Lord, I just want peace. I want your peace. Guess what? He gave me that peace. Why? Because he says here, it's yours. It's yours. God has lavished it upon us. It's yours for the asking. If you don't have it, it's because you haven't asked for it. He will give it. And then verse 3, this is where Paul really gets into, he's told us this, he's brought us up to the doors of the treasury, now he begins opening the doors, the treasury of heaven. Heaven's treasury is open. And that, there's what, praise be or blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ah, blessed, the blessed God. The blessed God has blessed us. I think is what this says. Well, what does it mean? He says, blessed be God, or praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed. Blessed means happy. You could say, well, God is the happy God. There's nothing to frustrate him. But this is, but the translators of the NIV are on the right track to help us understand what this blessed means. The word blessed comes where we get our word eulogy. Good speak. Good words. Praise. Exaltation. That's what this is trying to communicate. So the NIV actually does a pretty good job saying praise be. It's saying excellent things. These excellent things. Excellent, exalted words, speaking good words. And what is the context of these good words? Paul's about to unfold it in the following verses. So, exalted words for the God who is responsible for this, what he's going to go down through. He doesn't expound on what those exalted words are. He won't have to, because as you read through it, your spirit is going to pop and soar like fireworks. You're awesome. You're amazing. This is glorious. I can't even speak. Blessed be, praise be, exalted words for, cheers to God because of all that follows. And you'll see his plans, his purpose, the revelation and manifestation of those plans and purposes in Christ. Give exalted views. Everything we're going to study in the next several months, everything, give exalted views of God, of his character and nature. And these things we read, these great words, are intended to reflect glory upon God in Christ Jesus. So he says, blessed be all exalted, the best we can do with our language be to God. That is powerful. And he says, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just for a moment, it's important to study this, because God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, what does that mean? Jesus Christ is God. But Paul makes a point here to say that God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God is the God of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus became man, and you remember on this earth as God, Christ Jesus is fully man and fully God. But as man, he was in perfect submission to God. He did the will of God. as man. He was in the same position that you and I are in. That is, we are under God. And Christ, the God-man, was under God. I have come not to do my will, but to do your will. And he did that. So Paul catches that and he says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the humanity of Christ is exposed here. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see something of the Godhood of Jesus. Jesus wasn't kind of God. He was fully God, fully man, fully God. And he's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because God, the Son, Jesus Christ is God the Son from all eternity. So just get a glimpse of that here. The last part of that verse, he says, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Christ Jesus, or in Christ. Again, this is a unique message to unique people. That's why it's in blessed us. He hasn't blessed those that are not called. But he's blessed the called out ones. The saints. People that are not saints because of their behavior so great. But according to the will of God. The spiritual blessings that he's going to expound on are unique to God's people alone. Pardon for sin. An enduring peace. Redemption. Adoption. The Holy Spirit. Forgiveness of sins. Communion of the saints. All these things are blessings. They are the blessings he's speaking of. The spiritual blessings. And these verses will be discovered following verse 3 as we go through this. They're blessings that each of us as Christians enjoy right now. We're waiting for our adoption to be finalized, completed, when we'll be with him forever. But we are his now. The Bible calls us sons, daughters. But having son is important in Scripture because you understand sons received the inheritance. And in God's economy, there is no distinction of grace poured out for men and women. But to drive home this great point that we are, as men and women, partakers in the grace of God, we share in the inheritance the same. And that is magnificent and glorious and good. But he speaks of these spiritual blessings unique to God's people right now. And he writes, he says, he's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Heavenly realms. What does that mean? It makes it sound like it's not a blessing for right now. This word, I understand, is extremely difficult to communicate what they mean by that. It's heavenly realms, the heavenly things. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly things with spiritual blessings. We're blessed in matters pertaining to heavenly things. He has opened the treasury up. And what he's blessed us with is unique to God's people. It's things that only God's people can receive. The pardon, redemption, adoption, forgiveness of sins, Jesus Christ, knowing him, and the Holy Spirit. There are common blessings to every human being. Jeff and I were looking at the beautiful sunshine today. Wow, what a blessing. These spiritual blessings blow sunshine away. What a blessing. We have food to eat. Yes, that's a blessing from God. People around the world, believers and unbelievers, God haters, God lovers all enjoy it. But these spiritual blessings that have to do with spiritual things absolutely blow food away. So this message in Ephesians is for God's people that come by way of Christ. Many of us live as poor, poor beggars. I do. I hope and pray that for this, for us, that God will show His heart to us so much that we will no longer live like poor beggars. Well, if God wants to do something for me, yes, He will. God has done something for you. He has done something. I guess if He wants me to get by in this life, I do that good because it comes naturally. Well, I hope today will be a good day. That ought to be better than yesterday. Only because I've gone with my eyes blindfolded up to the treasury. And now Paul brings us to the doors of heaven, and he's opening heaven's treasury. Are you ready to behold the radiance of the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ? I hope so. That's what we're going to do, Lord willing, over the next few months. Let's pray. And then Jeff, come and lead us in our final song. Father in heaven, we praise You. Thank You for the first verses of Ephesians, which are igniting in us all kinds of hope and praise and thanksgiving already. Make each week, each time we hear a message from Ephesians, cause our hearts to soar, our faith to increase, our love for You to be made manifest in how we live and how we love one another, how we conduct ourselves. Oh, give us grace. You've already given it. Let us receive it today, and mercy and help in our time of need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeff?